ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣ.
ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ 10-10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 27. ಶೋಕ ಹರ್ಷ ಭಯ ದ್ವೇಷ ಲೋಭ ಮೋಹ ಮದನ್ವಿತ ಮಿತೋ ಗೃಣಂತಂ ನ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಭಾವೇರ್ಭವ್ಯಂ ಪೃಥಗ್ದೃಶ ಶೋಕಹರ್ಷ ಭಯ ದ್ವೇಷ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ಪರ್ಸನ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಇಂಬ್ಯೂಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಲೆಮೆಂಟೇಷನ್, ಜುಬಿಲಿಯೇಷನ್, ಫಿಯರ್, envy, greed, illusion and madness. They are influenced by the immediate cause which they are busy counteracting because they have no knowledge of the remote supreme cause, the personality of Godhead. Purport: Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. But one who has no connection with Krishna is disturbed by the immediate cause and cannot restrain his vision of separation or differences. When an expert physician treats a patient, he tries to find the original cause of the disease and is not diverted by the symptoms of that original cause. Similarly, a devotee is never disturbed by reverses in life. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee understands that when he is in distress, this is due to his own past misdeeds, which are now accruing reactions. Although by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these are only very slight. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Brahma Samhita 5.54. When a devotee under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to suffer because of faults in his past deeds, he passes through only a little misery by the grace of the Lord. Although the disease of a devotee is due to mistakes committed sometime in the past, he agrees to suffer and tolerate such miseries and he depends fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he is never affected by material conditions of lamentation, jubilation, fear and so on. A devotee never sees anything to be unconnected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting from the Bhavishya Purana, says, Bhagavad Darshanad Yasya, Virodhad Darshanam Pritak, Pritak Drishti Na Vijneno, Natu Sad Bhave Darshanah. So, in this chapter, which is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa, we are witness to two very amazing personalities. The personality or the character of Vasudev and Devaki and the personality of Kamsa. As in the previous verses of this chapter, we have seen how Kamsa, realizing from the announcement of Yogamaya that his killer was already born, he feels repentant. He feels that what he has done was not right. And then he approaches Devaki and Vasudev, showing his repentance. I'm really sorry. And then, of course, he quotes philosophy. And just by hearing this philosophy, just by hearing this repentance, Devaki and Vasudev, they are completely peaceful. So, and then they're speaking, and this is the word spoken by Vasudev. And then as we go ahead in this chapter, you will see that on the same night, this is happening maybe in the daytime, this discussion, the same night, Kamsa goes to his room, then he calls for his ministers. And the ministers say that, well, Kamsa, you should not worry, we are all with you. You should actually kill all the children born in Vrindavan. He completely changes again. He's first very atrocious. He's apparently defeated. He realizes his mistakes. He speaks very high-flown philosophy, you know, about not being the doer and everything. And then again he changes. And again he becomes extremely cruel. So here it shows the complete shallowness of the character, if at all we call it a character, of Kamsa. And the depth of character of Vasudev. Now, you know, Kamsa is spoken about his repentance. And just by hearing the repentance of Kamsa, Devaki and Vasudev are completely peaceful. To the extent it is said in the verse number 25 that they are simply happy with the fact that Kamsa is repenting. And 26 verse, the previous verse we took yesterday, the beginning of the verse is, "Oh great personality Kamsa." Now Vasudev, can you imagine what personality he is? That in spite of 6 of his children being brutally murdered, killed, he still has the respect to address Kamsa as a great personality. I was analyzing, you know, as a parent, you know, when somebody speaks something wrong about my child, they're speaking. It may be wrong or it may be actually true. But if I do hear something wrong about my child, I feel very angry and sometimes I might even stop talking to that person for a couple of years just because something wrong was spoken about my child, which may be true, which may not be true. Right? Just something wrong spoken about your child causes such a revengeful attitude. People who are conditioned like us. But can you imagine what sort of atrocity was caused to Vasudev? I mean, you know, 6 children being murdered in front of his own eyes in a very horrible way. Okay. And then he comes for repentance and comes, and Vasudev is completely fine. He's just, you know, happy to just forgive. And he's calling him a great personality. And then he's corroborating what Kamsa is saying. Yes, you are saying what you are saying is right. That if when people in this verse, when they say the people who do not see the hand of Krishna in everything that is happening in their life, then they're always filled with shoka, harsha, bhaya, dvesha, lobha, moha, and so on and so forth. So Vasudev is such a deep personality. So when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam and we are face to face with such amazing exhibition of devotional attributes and character in the form of Vasudev, it is for us to really learn from this episodes. It is not just even though this chapter is entitled Atrocities of Kim Kamsa, but actually also it shows the amazing quality of forgiveness of Vasudev and Devaki. They could have been really horribly angry with Kamsa. I said, you are such a foolish person. Are you realizing what you have done? You have unnecessarily killed our 6 children. They could have chastised him very heavily. And they had all the right to do so. But they didn't do that. And they don't really chastise him. They are just happy that he's repenting. Right? In this verse, what is it saying? Fully believing in the words, Vasudev Kamsa immediately releasing. Okay. When Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordained events, she was relieved of all anger. I mean, just by the fact that he is repenting, all anger is gone. That's the amazing character of these great souls. So we must understand that what is this teaching us? And Prabhupada explains in this purport that when an expert physician is dealing with a disease, it does not really cure simply the symptoms. Or it doesn't give a symptomatic cure, but actually goes deep into the problem and cures the problem, the real problem. If your blood is impure and that is causing rashes all over your skin, then there is no point applying lotion on your skin. It could cure it for some externally, But the root cause is not addressed. You have to go deep. So, I was analyzing that superficiality is the one of the biggest curses of this age. To be superficial in everything that we are doing. And as a manifestation of this superficiality, the doctrine that has been propagated is instant satisfaction is what we need, if what we want. We want instant satisfaction as part of superficiality. When we are superficial, the outcome of that is we want instant satisfaction in whatever we're doing. And that is a major cause of problems. Because there cannot be anything instant. You have to be deep in what you are doing. So what the society really needs right now, the real need of the society, is not necessarily, we need intelligent people, we need people who are gifted, but what the society really lacks right now is deep people. People who are deep in their thinking, in their heart, in their behavior. So whatever we see around us is not what is the real thing, but what people want us to see. It is a masked. It is simply, as we call, a facade that people want to show themselves to be. But that's not the actual thing. So if you analyze, this superficiality is all pervasive everywhere. Everywhere we go, we find superficiality in all aspects of our life. If you see the world around, the first thing, the way people talk. Talking is so very artificial and deceptive. It is not really deep, it is just superficial. I mean, if people are paid to be nice to you, they are just very artificially nice. They might be very angry with you. But they are paid, so they smile, you know, they speak kind words to you. But it is all deceptive. It is simply a superficial goodness that is seen, and people feel happy. Oh, see, I'm getting respected. But it's all superficial. Many times I've heard from people who are in the restaurant industry. Then it's a hospitality industry, right? We have to be very hospitable to the guests who come, and they pull the chair for you to sit. And then, you know, the more hospitable they are, the more people feel pampered. And the more they feel pampered, they feel nice. Right? So they do all these things just to make you feel good. But if the client is really a very bugging client, if he's really, you know, trying to be very finicky about the food he wants to eat and trying to find faults, the people who are serving, you know, I mean, they are not naturally good from their heart. They are just getting paid. So what sort of things that they do? I mean, you know, it is not even mentionable sitting on this seat. I mean, the food that you eat, you feel that they are serving, yes, sir, please, this is your soup with you know, something. But what they put inside, they sometimes spit in the soup out of anger, of bugging you. And then they find great satisfaction inside. They see what a fool I made of you. You think, you know, you are the boss, you are trying, and I'm, you know, but this is what you're eating. I mean, that's what they do. They put all sorts of obnoxious things in your soup or in your food that you eat. But externally, they look very nice. I know some of my friends who are in the, you know, airline industry. They are, you know, air hostesses and you know, air stewards, what they call. I mean, you know, when many of us, we travel, and they are very nice, yes, sir. And you keep on pressing some people who keep on pressing the bell, you know, and people, even at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you go for international flight, you press the bell. This lady will come very fresh, and says, "Yes, sir, what do you want, sir?" So can I get some? And this is the fifth time you are calling her, you know, and she's bugged, she's sleeping, and she'll be very nice. But what happens behind, when they go behind, is only known to the people who are working. This gives all sorts of obscene language they use for the customers, you know, and sometimes, you know, they want to really put the customer in difficulty. I mean, to what sort of extent they can be nasty, it is not even mentionable. There, you know, so many times they accuse the customer of being I mean, they are not actually like that, but they say, well, he's trying to behave with me in a very, very wrong way, and that's how they get accused, the customer, for, and that's what the ladies do, the air hostesses do, just so that they put him into trouble. That's the type of superficiality that we see in the world around, in the way we talk and the way we behave. The way we eat, I mean, the eating has become so superficial. You know, so many times we walk on the streets, people are just, you know, dumping in food. You have seen them, you know, they don't eat food. They're just, you know, standing on the streets, standing on the stations. They just eat the food. It is, there is no depth of relishing the food. There is no question of really understanding what you are eating. What talk of what they eat? I mean, it is just junk food that they are eating. Eating has become so, eating, it is a very, very important aspect of culture. That you know, if you see our culture, eating is that you sit properly, you are served properly, there's a particular way to eat, the first thing, what you eat first, second, third, the last thing. It's a culture. Eating is a culture. But how superficial is it? It's a deep culture. But how superficial it has become. Fast food joints. You know, you don't have to even sit. You just buy from a counter, eat, stand up and just dump your mouth with something. You know, you don't even know what you're eating. And you leave. That is how superficial even eating has become. You know, I'm in the HR industry, the human resource industry, and I've spoken this earlier, but how superficial is people's relationship to their companies that they work for? I mean, absolutely no commitment, no dedication. You know, there have our parents, they worked in a particular company for 30 years, 40 years. They got 50 years award for being in the same company for 50 years. And what is it now? The same thing. If you find a resume which comes to me and if I see that this person has been in the company for 15 years, the first thing I call him, my dear friend, is something wrong with you? I mean, how can you survive in a company for 15? Do you not have any ambition? Are you not really, you know, wanting to grow in your life? And many a times, a person who is seen changing, not too often, of course, but who is really dynamic in his life, is seen as a better person than a person who is really stable and trying quite dedicated to his company. In business, where is the question of, there is no depth in business, no ethics. It's just whatever gives me money. I mean, I asked somebody, Prabhu, what is your business? I mean, not a devotee. I said, my dear friend, what is your business? So whatever gives me money, that's my business. I mean, I don't really deal with one, two, or three. However I make money, anyway, that's my business. And when I went deep into this thing, this person is the biggest investor, and he's a big, very big man. He invests in huge private equity funds. I mean, the funds which invest in huge companies. Funds which invest in different businesses. And he has invested 90% of his money into funds which invest in pubs. Most of the pubs in Europe are funded by this fund. And you can imagine what sort of returns they get. You know, I mean, a normal private equity fund might give a return of 25%, 30%. If it's very good, it is 40%. The investment in the fund, I mean, in this pub industry, all over Europe, this fund, the last year returns, when the market was sluggish, the last year returns was 279%. Returns of investing in a pubs. Practically all the pubs in Europe are funded by these people. They put, I mean, you cannot imagine what sort of money has been pumped into pubs, because you need to make it look gorgeous if you want to have people. And the returns are phenomenal. And what happens in a pubs, you all know. No ethics, no, absolutely superficial living. Whatever gives him money, I'm fine with it. I don't care. The people who are running the big, big, huge cigarette industry. I mean, none of these people who are owners of cigarette companies, none of them ever smoke a cigarette. I mean, most of them, at least this is what was the case 10 years back. But they just bombard the youngsters. At what cost are they making money? At killing people, right? So what it means? Superficial. The whole way we make money has become very superficial. No depth, no ethics, no culture. And then I was analyzing, I mean, to what sort of superficiality is our dance? You know, the way dancing is a culture. You know, dance, you know, the way Indian, you know, it's a culture. There's a particular depth in dance that a dancer just exhibits his deep devotion, or if not even devotion, if his deep culture, his or her deep culture through his dance. But what is the dance now? It's just shaking the body in some obscene way, and that is dance, with some crazy, I mean, absolutely unrhythmical music around. And that is termed as dance. The life is becoming more and more and more superficial. We are not really realizing time is going by, but as we see all aspects of our life, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we think, the way we earn money, the way we dance, everything. I'm not talking about when we say we, means it's not the devotees here. I mean the whole world around has become very superficial. What is the best way that senior citizens, they entertain themselves? You know, I meet so many people who are not devotees. Senior citizens, they have made their money, and you know they are free. They have nothing to do. So you know, what is the usual way? If you have a depth of culture, if a depth of understanding, then you will sit and use that time to read scriptures, to hear scriptures, or at least be, if you are not religious, at least do something good to others. I mean, that is the minimum that you expect. But what is the number one way that people entertain themselves? The people who are senior citizens. One of the number one ways is spending hours at the mall. They go for a walk in a mall, because the malls are huge nowadays. And they say, we go for a walk in the mall and we walk and we see things around, and that's how these people, they spend. You find so many old people in the mall, and God knows what they are doing. And when you ask them, this is what with this, they're just whiling away their time, killing their time. Cinemas, you know, sing. And what is the way of entertainment? Krishna says, Yuktahar Vihar. Vihar is important part of our culture, to get entertained. It's a wonderful way of our life. But what does entertainment mean? Just sit in front of a cinema and eat popcorn. You know, it's just very superficial food, popcorn, very superficial way of dealing things. So, not only all these things, but even the way we dress has become so superficial. Dressing is supposed to be an exhibition of our culture. Again, the way we eat is a culture. Dressing is a culture. It is a deep culture attached to the way people dress. What is the dressing nowadays? It is just so crazy. Wearing torn clothes. All these things is such no depth. It's just superficial. What your mind says, just do it something different. Does look different, that do things different. And what to talk of relationships? We talk about friendship. It's very important. But most of the time, people nowadays, I have thousands of friends. Where? On the Facebook. Thousands of friends on the Facebook. That's the most superficial of way of having relationships. I mean, you don't even see them. You are just constantly through your, by the way, one of the biggest diseases now is muscle spasm of the hands, because of the typing and more than typing is dealing with mobile phones, dealing this big ish problems of people getting their muscles jammed permanently. Why? Because they're constantly on the Facebook. It was earlier that you meet them. Then it became worse that then you actually phone them. Then it became much worse that you email them. And now you are on the Facebook with them. You have 1,000 friends, but you have not seen any one of them. And that you call them friends. Relationships. Most of the people are getting married, not by seeing each other, but by visiting matrimony sites. I mean, you just see the photo of the girl, photo of the boy, read some description, which he has put. Now God knows whether it is right or wrong. And then you just enter into a conversation, meet each other. And one of the biggest industry growing in the .com world is the matrimony .com. the Bharat Matrimony and all these different sites, they make big, big money. The big investors who pump in money to this site because they know these sites are going to make money, because people want to do everything superficially. There's no depth in the way people do things. So all these things we are trying to understand is how superficial we have become in our life. And it is not that the superficiality that we are talking about, it is something which is only for the world around. Depth is a very, very integral part of Krishna consciousness. To see the deep hand of Krishna in everything is a very, very important aspect of being Krishna conscious. Our society is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Means you'll be conscious of Krishna. That means in everything that happens in our life or it happens around us, we'll be conscious of the fact that Krishna is having his hand behind this. And that is what this verse is talking about. But because of this epidemic of superficiality, which is just engulfing all of us, devotees are not going to be remaining aloof from the superficiality. It's going to be affecting us unless until we are very, 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 very sure and very, very intensely devotional to keep this superficiality away. Because it's so easy to be superficial. It's so easy. But it's much, much more difficult to be deep. The only way the word superficial can sound good is when we talk about a superficial wound. That is good. To have a superficial wound. But everywhere else, everything else, superficiality is a cause of biggest problems. So if we analyze in our Krishna consciousness also, the first, one of the most important aspects of our life, where 99% of our advancement is dependent upon the chanting. Maya is just trying to make it very, very superficial. It simply becomes a lip service and not a heart service. Superficiality is affecting all of us. When we are sitting to chant, we are being told, do you please go deep into the holy name? The word used is going, diving deep into the nectar of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That you dive into the nectar of the holy name, you relish the holy name. At least when you're not, at least begin to relish. But it becomes very, very superficial. It just becomes a lip service. We don't really understand. We don't really go deep. We are just all over. So the first and the most important activity of our life, if it is superficial, we'll never gain depth in our life. Reading of our scriptures. I mean, you know, many times I have opened so many books and I just read the first 3-4 pages and I put it back. If you feel excited, you want to read the book, and you read 3-4 pages and you don't really want to go deep into a particular scripture. You just want to be superficial. Oh, nice. And you put it back. That is one way of superficiality of scriptures. Another way is you simply read it, but you don't really apply it in your life. What, you know, we heard a class last Sunday where we heard that character without philosophy is of no use. That amazing story which was spoken about this PhD scholar who came to Prabhupada. And the scholar asked Prabhupada, what do you talk about, what do you think about the culture of the Western culture? And Prabhupada said, what culture? What is this Western culture? That your cow gives you milk and you kill her and so on and so forth, Prabhupada explained. And so Prabhupada was very happy with her. But she wanted some material for her thesis. So she asked Prabhupada, okay, let's talk about your philosophy. So that she wanted something to write. What, let's talk about a philosophy. Prabhupada said, philosophy without character is of no use. So we hear so much philosophy. How many scriptures are there? So much philosophy is available. But it simply remains superficial. It's just, you just read it. You don't really get... if you have a... I was just trying to analyze. If you have a gulab jamun, you know, and the real taste of a gulab jamun is when it is soaked in the syrup and it absorbs till the middle point of the gulab jamun, that all the juice then becomes succulent to eat. But you simply have a gulab jamun which is not porous and doesn't absorb things, I mean, it has no rasa. So that's what we are surrounded by, the nectarine, sweet philosophy, knowledge of Krishna consciousness. But we are like that hard gulab jamun. No, we are dipped in it. We, all of us are dipped in Krishna consciousness, which is nectarine. But we don't really absorb the sweetness. It just remains dry. It doesn't really go into our heart. At the most, it may remain just intellectual knowledge. But if we don't apply that knowledge in our life, then it's of no use. Similar, I mean, superficiality, just doing things in a very external way. You know, every time I've been asked to give the class, it's usually on a Friday, and that's where I would dress the deities. And so many times this example comes to my mind that even dressing the deity is such a glorious activity for those who are allowed to dress the deities. So for that matter, those who are allowed to even have darshan of the deities. It is such a deep and a glorious activity to dress the deities. But most of us, at least I, many times, most of the time rather, dress in a very superficial way just to dress your false ego, as I explained. We just try to dress in a very superficial way. So this is the great problem of Krishna consciousness, that we become so superficial, and to the extent the superficiality does not get limited to activities, but in our relationship with devotees and in our relationship with our spiritual master. The real relationship with the spiritual master is to make his instructions your life and soul. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitta Koryo Akya Arana Koryo Mane Asha. That is the real relationship with the Guru. But our relationship becomes simply external. How he does things with me externally is what is going to give me the confidence whether he likes me or not. And how I do things with him and he does things with me in an external way is what is going to decide whether I like him or not, he likes me or not. I mean, one of the most glaring, which I'll never forget, many years back, I was just a new devotee. And, you know, I had gone to some place and there were a few devotees who were gathered. And I heard one devotee talking to the other devotee that, you know, oh, today is my Guru's Vyas Puja. So I was very happy to hear. I almost wanted to ask, who is your guru? I wanted to attend. But the next statement he made, today is my Guru's Vyas Puja. Today I will have to chant 16 rounds. I was shattered completely shattered. The first time, I'm just a new devotee. And I said, is this a relationship you have with your guru? You know, that when you take a vow, that you are not really bothered with the vow that you're taken. And then you just, it is with a great burden, you chant 16 rounds on his Vyas Puja day at least. that's the relationship you have. No depth, no love. It's simply external. That he looks good, he feels good. It's only a look and feel type of experience that we do with material things, we do with our guru, we do with our devotees. Oh, he looks good. He looks smart. And I want to have a relationship because of the looks. Just because the way he does things. But you cannot judge the book by its cover. It is the most stupid thing you can ever do. That you just see a cover of the book and you say, this book is useless. There was a book, you know, I, many years back when I was not a devotee, I went to a library. And you know, I saw a very, very amazingly decorated, ornately decorated book by one spiritual person who was based in Pune a couple of years back. And I said, this looks so attractive, this book. And I opened the book and it was this thick book. And I opened and it was all blank. I said, is there some printing problem? I went to the person, I said, my dear friend, there's nothing there. This page is all empty. There seems to be some printing problem. You are just binded the wrong pages. I said, no, this is the book. I said, you see the last page. I said, what? And then he turned the last page and he said, so you will realize you are God. And this book at that time was costing 450 rupees. It's a thick book, ordinarily decorated, all the pages very nice, but all blank. And the last page, you say, and in the end, you will realize you are God. This. So if I would have judged that book by the cover, that book looked the best book I've ever seen. But what is the substance of that book? It's simply dustbin. It's simply word going to a dustbin. That's all. So similarly, many times we judge the things by the cover. And how stupid it can be without really knowing the substance of the book, substance of the person, substance of the thing that we are doing. Many times, I like to do this. That means you simply like it. But have you really gone deep into on the matter that why you should do it? We should always ask the question, why I should do what I do? But most of the time, we do it. But we never ask the question, why I do it? Why do I chant? Why do I come in front of deities? We are very superficial in our devotion. Why do I dance for the deity? I mean, it's not the people. I mean, of course, the first time we came to temple, everybody was dancing, so we start dancing. Like, you know, there was a story which was told by, Gauranga Prabhu. Many, many years. There was a devotee who came. There was a person who came for the first time, and devotees were singing something. Gaur Shriya Dvaita Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and something like that. And Gaur Nityananda Bol. So he didn't really bother to figure out what was it. So he thought, where did Nityananda go? I don't know. Right? This was the story. He didn't really go deep into it. Then he really wanted to know. He thought that this is a very important substance. Where did Nityananda go? And he asked some person very, very intensely, very seriously, my dear friend, can you please tell me where did Nityananda go? That person very casually said, I don't know. Anyway, after months, I mean, realize this is not what he thought. The first time I came to the temple, I mean, the first time I heard, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Rupa Goswami Pranadhana, hey, I didn't really understand what is this Rupa Goswami, Pranadhana, hey, and everything. For months, I understood something different. Because we are not trained to really go deep and ask questions of why we are doing what we are doing, what we are singing, why are we singing, what does it really mean? So this is the great danger of this superficial life that we all are in, the world of superficiality, the world of shallowness, the world of selfishness that we all are living in. That's why it is mentioned in this verse that a devotee should see the hand of Krishna in everything, and he uses the word, Prabhupada uses the verse, tateinu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evat kita vibhagam, that he sees the hand of Krishna, because the way Krishna deals with his devotees is also very deep. He will not deal with you in a superficial way. The purification that he gives to a devotee is very, very deep, and the more deep you go, the more painful it is. I mean, just an example. If you have some tooth problem, and you go to Muridhar Prabhu or any dentist, and if there is really a cavity in your teeth, then he has to first take a powerful drill, and just go deep, drill it to really remove all the dirt, remove all the, and it is extremely painful. If you go to the dentist, they said, remove this cavity, but please, it cannot be painful. I don't want it to be painful at all. Not possible. And if he does so, then he has not done his job properly. But Krishna, as a transcendentist, is when he deals with devotees, Krishna does things very deeply. Everything that he does has a deep meaning, a deep purpose, and a deep way of doing things. So when he's trying to purify his devotees, when we are praying, Krishna, please purify our heart, Krishna does, but he does very deep. And when you go deep, it is very, very painful. I was explaining, when we were at one of the places on the highway, there were huge trees, huge, huge, huge trees, which had to be uprooted because they were making the road broad. And these trees are so old, maybe many of them maybe half, five decades or seven decades old. And they required huge, huge cranes to uproot those trees.
It was a sight to see huge trees, their roots getting uprooted from inside. And in a similar way, in India, many few years back, I was seeing that they were cleaning one of the sewage canals near my house, huge canals. And the dirt was so deep that they required a huge JCB to remove, scrape it out, the whole dirt. So, if purification has to happen, and if Krishna has to do the purification, if you do it superficially, you feel nice, no problem. Most of the religious organizations, it's a superficial, if at all they are doing some cleansing. You don't feel any pain. Oh, it's nice. This is nice. It's not devotional. You know, I put a tilak, I put a particular badge around, and put a particular topi on my head, and I'm devotional. No pain. Everything is very fine. But when there's superficiality, there is no depth. And when there's no depth, there is no real purification. But when Krishna does things, just to analyze, just to see, that Krishna will do things in a very, very deep way. The way, if you see, we were discussing the other day in our Bhagavad study, the way Krishna has dealt with his devotees. It is basically, you know, it really shakes us from our comfort zone. Kunti, a great devotee of the Lord, lost the husband. The son, she had the son. Draupadi lost all her sons, her husband. Uttara was about to lose the son. That's how Krishna deals with his devotees. A very deep way. If you don't see the hands of Krishna in way he does things, you would, as it was explained in one of the things I was reading, Jesus Christ says that there are four ways when the seed of bhakti, Jesus Christ spoke about Bhakti Lata Beach, by the way. And he said there are four ways that the seed will fall, and if the seed falls on a rocky surface, that means there will be no roots. When it falls rocky, there is no root, there is no depth inside. Some blow of wind, it will be all knocked out. Similarly, a person who takes Krishna consciousness in a very superficial way, he'll be very happy to take it in the beginning. But if it does not make his heart soft, where the root can go deep and get entrenched or attached to his existence, then any atrocity, any difficulty in his life will just swim off if there's no depth. This is the problem of not having depth. We have a rocky heart. Now, what is he saying? Instead of a heart, he's giving a stone. What is that? Vasu Ghosh is saying, right, that instead of the heart, the creator has given me a stone instead. Now that's what all of us have, a stone-hearted heart. When a heart is stone-hearted, that means nothing will grow if we are superficial. But if we want to make it deep, that means we need to go, we make it fertile and let the whole thing go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper inside. The more deeper it goes, the more higher it grows, and the more higher it grows, the more it will ultimately touch the lotus feet of Krishna. So this verse so beautifully explains the importance of going deep and seeing the hands of Krishna in everything that is happening in our life. And for seeing the hands of Krishna, we have to go really deep into our sadhana, very deep into our relationships, and very deep into our understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If we are not deep, we'll be shaken up, we'll lose faith, and we will leave. For many, many years, we will not get that faith again. So, keeping this in mind, we must understand how glorious is Krishna. Just to end, that suppose somebody is dealing with you in a superficial way, you know that he's dealing in a superficial way. He doesn't really have the intent, or doesn't really have the love inside, simply superficially dealing with you. Can you really love that person? Really? Not possible. If somebody dealing with you superficially and you know about it, you cannot have a relationship. But can you imagine how glorious, how wonderful a master Krishna is, that in spite of our superficial way of dealing with him, he still loves us. How deep his love is for us in spite of the superficial love that we have for him. So I was just amazed with this understanding that how Krishna is so wonderful, that in spite of the fact that he knows that most, at least my devotion to him is very superficial. But still he tolerates us because of his deep love for us. That's the genuinity of the love of a parent for the child. That the love is so deep, so thick, so intense, that Krishna's love for his devotees. So Krishna is so wonderful. So we need to reciprocate with Krishna for the depth of love that he has for us. We need to show that similar depth. We need to try to create that depth of love for him. And when we do that, then slowly Krishna will manifest himself to us. And we will see the hands of Krishna in everything that is happening. Just like the way it happened in the case of the life of the Avanti Brahmana. Amazing story. We don't have time for the story. But the way it happened in his life, that he was originally a very, you know, very, very materialistic person. But then he, through his meditation, through his intense thoughts, knowledge dawned upon him, and he saw that everything that is happening in my life, all the horrible things, people were spitting at him, people were beating him, people were doing all sorts of obnoxious things on him. But through all it, through everything that happened in his life, he saw this first as this is nothing but a small token of my past misdeeds. And second, that this is all sanctioned by Krishna. He saw the hands of Krishna. To see Krishna is not easy. To see Krishna, it requires depth of devotion, and then you will see Krishna in everything. Then everything that is happening, good or bad in our life, you will see the hand of Krishna. And that is what this verse is trying to teach us. That is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us. That if you go deep into our devotion, slowly but surely we will see the hand of Krishna in everything that is happening in our life. And that is what we have come to Krishna consciousness for. Not for superficial devotion. Either you're hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out, Jesus Christ said. Lukewarm means to be superficial in devotion. You have to be deep in your devotion. That's what he expected. That's what Prabhupada expects from us. That's what our spiritual masters expect from us. Deep character. Based on the depth of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy that we have as a gift from Krishna. The most evolved philosophy cannot be exhibited by shallowness of character. Our hearts, our intelligence might be miles wide. What is the use of having miles wide if there is only an inch deep? Can you imagine something which is miles wide but only inch deep? So we might have big temples, but if the depth is only an inch deep, what is the use? There's no depth. So we want to grow miles wise also and depth wise also. We should be deep like the ocean, as we said. We vast and deep. Vastness is also important. Vast knowledge, vast love, vast realizations cannot happen till there is depth. And that is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us by saying, Tatenu kampam susamiksha mano. Chitraketu Maharaj, when he was cursed, the first thing he just got down off his and he folded his hands. He said, thank you to Mother Parvati. It was a horrible thing that happened in his life, to curse, to become a demon. But he saw the hand of Krishna in it. It takes a huge amount of sadhana, a huge amount of understanding. And of course, with all those things, Krishna's mercy to understand and see the hands of Krishna. So let us all work towards and help each other to really develop this depth of Krishna consciousness in our hearts, and so that we become instruments of great pleasure to Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Yatai Gaura Primanandi Yari Yari Vo.